The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Gospel of Luke, where our Christmas readings and our readings today came from, is pretty unique in the fact that it gives us so much backstory into the early life of Jesus. Where Mark and John basically skip all of Jesus' younger life and go right into his ministry, and Matthew takes it as an opportunity to connect the birth of Jesus to the broader narrative of the Hebrew Scriptures, Luke spends time with the Holy Family. We get to know Mary, the mother of Jesus, on a much more intimate level. We get to know her family through Elizabeth and hear of her faith in God through the proclamation of the Magnificat. We get to be with her during her encounter with the angel Gabriel and on her journey to Bethlehem and be present with her for the birth of Jesus. We witness shepherds finding her and telling her of the visions they had, of angels singing praises for the birth of Jesus. And again, as she presents Jesus at the temple for his circumcision, and hears the inspiring yet troubling prophecies of Simeon. In this final story of Jesus' youth, we walk with Mary during what can only be described as a parent's worst nightmare, losing track of their child. We're told Mary and Joseph took young Jesus to Jerusalem every year to celebrate the Passover. And when he was 12, without telling his parents, Jesus decides to stay behind. Note our text doesn't tell us that Mary and Joseph left Jesus in Jerusalem. Luke doesn't want to give us the impression that they're bad parents by any means, but rather in the hustle and bustle of what sounds like a large group of Mary and Joseph's friends and relatives leaving Jerusalem after the festivities, Jesus stays behind to keep learning and studying in the temple. If you've had a child before, you know the feeling. You think you know where your child is, and upon realizing they are missing, an immediate sense of dread and panic begins to sink in. I'm sure we can all collectively imagine Mary and Joseph searching through their traveling caravan, trying to get young Jesus to stop playing with his friends and come and join them for dinner, perhaps. And as they ask each friend and family member if they've seen him, a terrible feeling begins to form in their gut as the realization sets in that he's not there, that they've lost their child. that they've lost God's Son, that they've lost God. Imagine with me, if you will, those 3 days of searching, which Luke uses to foreshadow the 3 days we will wonder if we've lost Jesus after the crucifixion and before the resurrection. First, looking for Jesus among their traveling companions, then in a rapid flight back to Jerusalem, retracing their steps and asking everyone that they had contact with during the Passover if they had seen their lost son, and finally making their way to the temple to find Jesus, not scared, not crying because he can't find his parents, but rather happily talking with the teachers and scribes, engaging them in meaningful theological conversation without another care in the world. I see Mary and Joseph as worried parents interrupting whatever profound conversation had been going on as Mary asks Jesus in that special tone that can only come from a mother who means business. Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. To further drive the point home, the Greek word that Mary uses that's often translated as anxious or anxiously is odinemini, which is more akin to the suffering that the prophet Simeon uses when he tells Mary what she will endure being the mother of Jesus. It's a word used only two other times in the New Testament. First in Luke chapter 16 during the parable of the rich man and the pauper, describing the rich man's agony in the flames of Hades for failing to aid his neighbor in need. And secondly in Acts chapter 20 for the emotions of Paul's friends when he tells them that he will never see them again. It's a strong word, and it conveys fully to Jesus the fear and worry his parents felt at losing him. Jesus responds to his mother with the innocence of a child not realizing they've done anything wrong, saying, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you realize I would be in my father's house?" Except again, the English translation does not do this response justice. In Greek, Jesus tells his parents, "Hoti en tois to patros modeinaime." Effectively, Jesus says, "Didn't you know I would be in the of my father as it is necessary for me to be?" The word house doesn't appear. It just makes for a simple translation of an otherwise complex idea. At first glance, it looks as though Jesus is saying, "Of course I'd be in the temple because that's where God is." But the Greek that Luke uses leaves so much more room for interpretation. The double particle in the Greek might translate better as the someplace of God, which I think beautifully leaves open a myriad of possibilities of where we might find Jesus in our own lives. After all, just like Mary and Joseph, how many of us have lost track of God before? I know I certainly have. I remember being in high school desperately trying to find God, to find relationship with God, and really not knowing where God was in my life. I just couldn't seem to find God in the church my family attended growing up. And this is not to say anything to discredit the church of my upbringing, as I met many good and faithful people there. Clearly, it was working for some and providing them with the relationship with God that they were looking for. But for me, a rule-following teenager who desperately wanted to be a rebel instead, but really had no idea who he was at all, the tradition and the structure just felt rigid to me. And so I wandered. To that end, I empathized with Mary and Joseph as they asked their friends and family if they'd seen Jesus looking for clues that would lead them back to that connection with their son, God incarnate. During that phase of life, I visited churches of friends and family from other denominations and explored different religions through books and conversations with others, and took academic classes on the subject of religion, all in an attempt to find God as I felt lost. After years of searching, I was introduced to meditation by a teacher of mine, and finally, I found God in stillness and silence. To this day, it's how I most meaningfully connect with God. As much as I enjoy our Sunday worship, the fellowship that comes from church community, and reading scripture, I know from trial and error that when life pulls my focus from God, that when I feel lost or alone, that I can return to stillness and silence to find God in me, with me, and around me. What I love about the Greek Luke uses here in describing the someplace of God is that it gives us permission as individuals to find God where God is waiting for us. Due to their piety, Mary and Joseph find God where God is waiting for them in the temple. And many of us gathered here today may encounter God most fully here in church and during worship. Someone like John the Baptist, on the other hand, clearly found God in the wilderness, out in nature, living off the land with few material possessions, away from the distractions of society. In the same way, I would bet a number of us in this building feel the presence of God much more fully on a hike through the woods or even on a weekend camping trip. Some, like St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila, found God most profoundly in the act of contemplation. And still others, like Bezalel and Oholiab from the book of Exodus, encountered God in their artistic creations. Throughout both scripture and history, we are shown that there is no one way to experience God, that God meets us where we are and invites us to come into the kingdom as we are. Our reading today kicks off a major theme in the Gospel of Luke, namely God being a God of the lost. As we venture into year C of the lectionary this year, which focuses on the Gospel of Luke, I invite you to pay attention to this theme. We'll hear countless examples of Jesus going after the lost, whether they be lost physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and calling them back to God's flock. We'll hear parables throughout the Gospel of Luke playing on this theme that will introduce us to a shepherd who leaves his 99 sheep to go after the one that has wandered off. And upon finding this sheep, he calls his neighbors together and rejoices that his lost sheep has come back to the flock. We'll encounter a woman who has just 10 coins and loses one. She'll turn on the light, sweep and clean her house until she finds her missing coin, and upon finding it, we'll also call her friends and neighbors together to celebrate that she has found what was lost. And we'll meet a man whose son decides to take his inheritance early and walk away from the family. After this son squanders it and finds himself suffering, he decides to return to his father, who, despite the chagrin of his other son, who always listened to his father from the start, joyfully throws a party to celebrate that his lost son has come home. No matter the situation, whether it's a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost boy, or even a family who lost their son, it appears that God is always waiting for us, looking for us, and happy to welcome us back from our time away. As 2024 comes to a close, I can think of no better good news to proclaim. The world is a stressful place these days. And maybe it always has been, but just feels more so now because of things like media and 24-hour news coverage. If we allow it, it will pull us along in its current of negativity, trying to suffocate and drown us. As we get pulled along, just as Mary and Joseph were pulled along by their caravan leaving Jerusalem, it's easy to lose sight of God and find ourselves lost. However, whenever we are lost, whether we're lost in body or spirit, take heart, because we can always find God again in the someplace of God. In that someplace, God is always waiting for us, for you and me as individuals. God knows what calls to us and speaks to our unique souls, and God is waiting to meet us there and bring us back home. Amen.